on the Colorado State Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, we welcome everybody back right here to the Colorado State Insider Podcast. Thanks for tuning in once again here this week. Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, your host, and wish we had some great news to talk about on the show. Well, we do. We will talk some Colorado State women's soccer, who got a big win here this past week. But on the football front, obviously a disappointing weekend last week as the Rams fall to Vanderbilt. CSU was terrific in the first half, faltered a bit in the third quarter. The game was tied, closing minutes, and the Rams would lose on a last-second field goal, and they fall to 0-2 as they head to Toledo coming up on Saturday. Here's what we have coming up on the program for you today, and well, we will take a look back at that Vanderbilt game just a little bit. We're not going to harp on it too much. I mean, who wants to do that? It's a Ram football team that, again, they had a chance in that first half really to put Vanderbilt away. They didn't get that job done. And in the end, it cost them a football game. But they will move on to take on Toledo. And we'll talk to defensive line coach Antoine Smith on the show. Now, Antoine was on the Steve Adazio Coaches Show this past Monday night. So I'm going to play that interview for you. And Antoine is pretty forthright, straight up with everybody that was listening to the show on Monday night, and said, look, we feel like as a defensive line, we lost that football game because we had an opportunity after the game was tied at 21 as a defensive line to put our foot down and stop Vanderbilt and send that game into overtime or maybe even get CSU the football back in regulation. He said, hey, we didn't get the job done. Certainly you like to hear that from Antoine Smith, but the defensive line was good. I mean, CSU was good against the run. The defense played much better. And it's a football team that, again, just for whatever reason, is having trouble closing out football games. And that was a tough one on Saturday night. So we'll talk to Antoine Smith, hear from him. Also talk to Devin Phillips, defensive lineman at Colorado State. Devin also joined us Monday night, the Steve Adazio Coaches Show. Devin, a terrific young man. I hadn't had a lot of interaction with Devin over the last three plus years. I don't know why. It just haven't. And really the first time I had a chance to sit down with Devin, and a terrific, fine young man for Colorado State who's played very well. Again, up along that defensive line, the 6'2", 300-pounder from Monroe, Louisiana. His brother, Joctavis Phillips, also plays on the team as an offensive lineman. So we'll play back that Devin Phillips interview as well. Then we are going to turn our attention to Toledo, and I'll be joined by their play-by-play voice, Brent Balbinot, and he'll give us an idea of what to expect from Toledo. It's a Toledo team that nearly won at Notre Dame, and as Brent said, boy, really felt like they should have won that contest. So that comes up a little bit later. And then, hey, we'll turn our attention to soccer. I had a chance yesterday on Tuesday to head over to the McGraw Center and sit down. First time face-to-face with Keely Hagan, first-year head coach, Colorado State women's soccer team. They're coming off a 6-0 win over Idaho State. They'll have a 2-week break, essentially, before getting back on the field on Friday, September the 24th, when they take on San Diego State in the conference opener. So that's what we have coming up on the podcast here this week. If you want to fast forward to maybe Devin Phillips or Antoine Smith, go for it. I don't blame you. You want to get the Toledo preview, fast forward to the Brent Balbinot interview. I don't blame you either. I'm not going to harp too much on what happened on Saturday night, the Ag Day Orange Out. And again, I want to send a shout out to the students who were once again terrific, 10,000 strong on Saturday night. And, man, they were treated to a great first half, really a good first 25 minutes of that contest. Colorado State gets the opening kickoff. They go right down the field, 5 plays, 75 yards. They go up 7-0. CSU forcing 3-and-out after 3-and-out in that first quarter. And it's a Colorado State Ram team that I think we all felt probably should have been up 20-0 at halftime, maybe 24-0, maybe 24-7. Rams missed 2 field goals in that first half. They also had a drive stall at midfield. It's a CSU team that clearly was the better team in the first half, but they couldn't get that knockout punch. They could not break the will of Vanderbilt, and they had their chances too. I mean, that's a Vanderbilt team that came into Canvas Stadium having lost 11 straight games. If CSU goes up at halftime by by the count of 20-0. If CSU goes into halftime up 24-7, I mean, that game is over. There's no way that Vanderbilt team is coming out and coming off the mat, getting off the mat, and coming back and winning that contest. They just weren't going to do it. But unfortunately, that's not the way the end of the first half played out. How about this? With about 5 minutes to go in the first half, Colorado State had 280 total yards. 280. They ended up with 305 in the first half. But again, with about 5 minutes to go in the first half, when Vanderbilt went on their scoring drive, the total yards at that point was about 280 to about 68. 280 to 68. It was complete domination. But unfortunately, and we've seen this now in back-to-back games, where Colorado State has given up late points. Saw it against South Dakota State. Rams were down 14-10 in that contest, closing minutes of the first half. South Dakota State went down the field, scored, made it 21-10. I mean, that's a completely different ballgame, 21-10 compared to 14-10. And you know, South Dakota State took the momentum, took the mojo into halftime. Well, the Rams were up 14-0, late stages of the first half, completely dominating the contest. And again, felt like they should have been up more, but they weren't. But then you give up that late touchdown drive to Vanderbilt. And all of a sudden, you go into halftime, and Vanderbilt's within striking distance. It's 14-7. Vanderbilt has all the momentum with them heading into that locker room, and you gave them hope. And that's all Vanderbilt needed. Into the third quarter, again, CSU wasn't great in the third quarter. They got outscored 14-0. Rams were able to get the football back early in that third quarter. They forced a Vanderbilt punt, and CSU had the football out near midfield and then an interception. And sometimes that's all it takes. Ill-advised pass by Todd Senteo. He'd tell you that. The coaching staff would tell you that. It happens. But not a great place for it to happen, but it did. And Vanderbilt took that interception, went down the field. All of a sudden, it's 14-14, and you are in a flat-out dogfight. Rams, of course, would go down 21-14. The defense would settle down in the late stages of the third quarter into the fourth quarter and play fairly well. And it's a Colorado State offense that really was sputtering around. They couldn't get out of their own way. They had a 3rd-and-1 where they had a false start. All of a sudden, 3rd-and-6, they don't convert. It's a Ram team that had 4 3-and-outs in the second half. But when CSU needed a scoring drive late in the fourth quarter, they would get one. They'd go down the field. 4th-and-goal from the 3-yard line. Senteo would hit Trey McBride in the left flat. He would take it into the end zone. All of a sudden, tied up at 21 apiece, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, Colorado State, they got off the mat. This thing's going to go to overtime, but unfortunately, that would not be the case as Vanderbilt would go down the field. They would drive 55 yards. 30 of the 55 yards came on penalties. There was a pass interference call. There was a targeting call. Next thing you know, Vanderbilt's lining up a game-winning 38-yard field goal. Joseph Bulovas would put it through. And just like that, Colorado State falls to 0-2 on the season. And it's too bad for a lot of the reasons that we already mentioned here a moment ago. But it's too bad because that was really probably the most winnable game of the non-conference slate. It's a tough schedule this year. And you schedule these games out and you just don't know how good some of the teams are going to be. Vanderbilt obviously wasn't great. South Dakota State was really good. Rams now go on the road at Toledo. And again, this game has been on the books for several years. Toledo's going to be really good this year. They are really good this year. They nearly won at Notre Dame. Then you go on the road at Iowa, and Iowa looks like they could be the favorite in the Big Ten. I mean, they're ranked 5th in the nation, and to go into Iowa City coming up in 2 weeks, really a week and a half from now, I mean, that's going to be the hardest game on the schedule, bar none. So it's a Colorado State team that's in a tough predicament here with their final two non-conference games, and then you get the break, you get the bye week, and then you start Mountain West Conference play, and I get it. Ram fans are impatient, they're frustrated, I understand that, and trust me, I've received a ton of text messages from Ram fans saying, man, what's going on? We need to start winning. And we all agree with that. But I think sometimes in this world of instant gratification and this world of hyper-reactive social media, I think we lose sight of what's really going on here. I mean, Steve Addazio was hired in mid-December of 2019 to fix a broken program. And it was broken. I mean, the Rams, final 2 years of Mike Bobo's 5-year stint, 3 wins, 4 wins. Mike Bobo couldn't beat a rival in the final 4 years of his time at Colorado State. Fans were fed up. This was a broken program, and Steve Addazio was hired to fix it. He was hired in mid-December of 2019, got on the recruiting trail, tried to piece together a recruiting class. Next thing you know, pandemic hits in March of 2020. They get 4 games into their schedule last year. They do get a win over Wyoming. And then now here this year, it's time to kind of try to build that program. And really, this is the first year for Coach Addazio. I believe in what Steve Addazio is preaching. I do. I think there's a level of toughness. You talk to the players. They're all behind this coaching staff and this football program. So we'll see how Colorado State can fare coming up here this weekend. It's going to be a tough one. Again, Rams are going to go in Toledo, play at the Glass Bowl, and take on a Toledo team that many people think will win the Mid-American Conference this year. It's a Toledo team that, boy, they've been really good under their head coach, Jason Candle, who's now in his 6th season. Remember, they came into Colorado State. They ran for over 450 yards back in 2019 in a 41-35 win at Canvas Stadium. They ran all over Colorado State, and they have a lot of those guys returning. It's a team that went 4-2 last year in a COVID-shortened season. The two losses came to Western Michigan, who's also one of the favorites in the MAC, and a Ball State team that won the MAC last year, and they're both very close games. I mean, that's a Rockets team that certainly could have gone 6-0 and won the MAC last year. So, be a really tough game, and we know that because they went into Notre Dame and nearly beat the number 7 Irish last week. They were up 29-24, the buck 35 to go. Notre Dame had 80 yards in front of them, and give the Fighting Irish credit. They went down the field and scored the game-winning touchdown, and they beat Toledo 32-29. So it's a Toledo team that went toe-to-toe with Notre Dame last week, returning home, and are a 2-touchdown favorite against Colorado State. All right, let's get you to some of the interviews. Let's start with the student-athlete. And Monday night, we were out at CBM Potts Collindale for the Coors Light Steve Addazio Coaches Show, and Devin Phillips, the defensive lineman from Monroe, Louisiana, joined me on the show as we listen back to that conversation. Devin, good to be with you. Let's just start with the game on Saturday night. Give me your thoughts. I know that's a frustrating game. You guys probably thought you had control of in the first half and kind of let it slip away.
Yes, sir. I want to say for the most part, we just had to come together as a team from the week before and just lock in and actually just do what we know that we could do and just, like, focus on the little details, the small addendums, and just execute at a higher rate than we did the week before.
Yeah, I know you guys as a collective group were disappointed in your performance in the season opener, and it was a defense, and in particular a front seven, that was so good last season, and you guys were great against the run. You were able to get a lot of negative plays and weren't able to get that done against South Dakota State. How were you guys able to bounce back and have a really solid football game here on Saturday night?
Well, we all came together as a defense. We all just set down the standard, and we just held everybody accountable to that standard. And we just got more film and more extra work outside of practice and workouts. And we all just, like I said, we came together and we set down the standard and we pushed forward to play better this week than we did the week before.
Yeah, we had Coach Heater on the program, defensive coordinator at Colorado State last week. And he's talking about gap control and not being in the correct gaps.
Right.
And that's just about everything for a defensive lineman, isn't it?
Being in the wrong gap could cause a lot of bad things to happen and open up a lot of holes for the backs and stuff to get through. So just controlling the gaps and controlling the front line of the scrimmage plays a whole lot in the game.
Tell us a little bit about this defensive line and some of the guys in it. And what's it like playing with this unit? Because you look up and down that defensive line, there's so many guys who have played a ton of college football, who have been in the trenches. You're one of them. You're a fourth-year player now in this program. What's it like to play with that group?
It's great. I love it. I mean, it's a lot of experienced guys. For me personally, I mean, I want to say not as experienced as those guys that playing D-line, but just learning from them and just picking up little things here and there to better my game and just keep playing hard every day, you know. I want to say as far as, like, Toby and Patch, those guys, they're very experienced. They have a lot of time under them, and they know how to lead and get what – how can I say this? Get the best about you, and
right.
Just so you can you want to play for guys like that. You want to give your best for guys like that because they put in so much time and effort, and it's like you just don't want to see those guys let down, you know?
Yeah, you bet. Having a veteran defensive line helps, and I imagine it helps the rest of the team. When you have a frustrating loss like you did on Saturday night, and to have veteran guys in that locker room, I mean, how big is that? Because I know, listen, everybody's frustrated when you come off a game like that. Does it help to have veteran guys like that to help you move on to the next game?
Yes, sir, you do, because, like, you might have some guys who be like, who just sit there and, like, yo, we did all this for nothing. But those veteran guys actually see the bigger picture, and they see, like, what we're striving for, and they just help motivate the younger guys to keep pushing. You know what's at the end of the road. You just got to put in the work and effort and get there, and just you just got to do it.
All right, Devin Phillips, defensive lineman for Colorado State, joining us here on the Steve Adazio Show tonight. All right, you guys were back in the practice field here today, right, or no?
No, sir, we had an off day today.
You were back in the film room yesterday,
yes,
though,
sir,
I imagine.
Back in the film room.
What was the attitude of the football team? A little upset, I imagine?
Yes, sir, we were upset. You know, it wasn't a tough game, but it was a tough week as far as mentally just preparing, just doing your job was the big emphasis of the week. You do your job, and everybody play together, and it all come together as a whole. And just having faith, Coach Adazio talked about it, Pastor Square talked about it, just having faith in what you can't see, just knowing that it's going to happen regardless of what's going on in the situation right now. And also talking one-on-one with Coach Smith, he always talk about the next play mentality. No matter what happened in the last play, always worry about the next play. Keep moving forward. I mean, you do good, do bad. I mean, if you did make a good play, it doesn't matter. Next play, and just keep playing, you know.
Yeah, it was the Colorado State defense that held Vanderbilt to just 4.3 yards per play, 2.8 yards per rush, got after the quarterback, 3 sacks in the contest as well. Again, Devin was in on one of those sacks. All right, so you're from Monroe, Louisiana. Tell us, how did you get to Fort Collins? And that little bit of a culture shock from Louisiana to Fort Collins?
A little bit, but I want to say I was recruited heavily by a lot of schools.
Right.
I mean, and I was actually playing offensive line in high school and getting recruited for offensive line only here, and another school recruited me to play defensive line. And I wish I would have taken more visits, but I'm glad I took the visit here to Fort Collins. It's a nice place. I love it here. The fans, I mean, everybody, it's just been great ever since I stepped foot on campus here, and I love it. But I want to say I had an opportunity to start as a freshman, and coming over, just playing, I just wanted to learn something new, didn't want to get complacent. So I switched over to the defensive side of the ball, and just so every day I know that I had to get better at what I'm doing, and that was the only shot I had.
Is there a different mentality or mindset from playing offensive line compared to playing defensive line, or is it still just the same mindset, or do you have to approach it differently?
It's kind of the same mindset, but differently mentally, because playing offensive line, I was just hitting a lot of people, and I mean, basically do the same thing on D-line, but offensive line is more like mentally, like it's more of, I'm trying to see how I can put this. It's more mental than physical, I would say, because the physical aspect is there, but you got to know who you're blocking and where the different levels of where you're going. But on defensive line, you just got one objective, get after the football and find the football.
Get after the football. Yes, get to the ball. I like it. And Devin's done a great job of that throughout the course of his career. And here at Colorado State, your brother, Jock Davis, is a member of the football team as well. What's it like being here with your brother? And obviously that was probably a big
– that was another reason I came out
here.
I didn't
have
any family here, and I was just – honestly, I just wanted to not get away from home, but I just wanted to experience something different, you know, and I just wanted to be out here with him. And just having my brother right alongside with me is great. Not everybody gets to play college football with their brothers.
So. Yeah. Did I see he shaved his head?
Yeah. I mean, he did that a lot in high school.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Whenever we would go
I saw him on the sideline. He had the shaved head.
Yes,
and I had it through my binocs. So.
He'd grow his beard out a little bit more. It'll look a little bit better.
That's right. Well, give him time.
Yes,
he can do that.
You.
All right. Devin Phillips joining us, defensive lineman here for Colorado State. A couple more questions with Devin. And do you have a pregame routine? I mean, do you have something on game day where you get to the stadium and maybe you listen to the same song, same album, you do certain stuff? What's your game day routine?
I mean, I have a playlist, but I haven't really gotten back to it. But I just stay quiet. I stay to myself and just lock in and get ready for a game.
Are you a headphone on the field guy when you first get there? Do you have your headphones on?
No, sir. Usually I go in, hop in the cold tub for a little while, listen to the music, then go in the locker room, chill out for a little bit, and then I just sit there and just get in my own little zone,
right,
off in the area by myself, a little quiet place.
All right, final thought. Give Ram fans an inside look at your studies. What are you studying, and what are the plans after football?
I'm studying communications right now with a minor in sports management. I'm looking to go into coaching after football. I want to go into coaching, and I just want to help elevate young people to the next level and just basically teach football and do the best that I can.
Beautiful. Devin, thanks so much, man.
Thank
Appreciate you.
You
coming out.
Thank you for having me.
All right. All right, there he goes. That's Devin Phillips, the big defensive lineman from Monroe, Louisiana. And as I mentioned earlier, I hadn't had a ton of opportunities to talk to Devin over the last number of years. Not sure why. It just sometimes works out that way. But really impressed by Devin Phillips. All right, Antoine Smith also joined us, defensive line coach at Colorado State. And if you've ever been out or seen Colorado State practice, you know that Antoine Smith is a throwback football coach. Really gets after his unit, but he gets the best out of his unit. He loves his guys, coaches them hard, he loves them harder, and again, a throwback type of coach. Nonetheless, Antoine Smith joined us, talked about the Vanderbilt game, and he had some pointed words about that game that you will hear, but I opened up asking him about the young man we just heard from, the senior defensive tackle, Devin Phillips.
You know, when I first arrived here, you know, Devin off the field wasn't as clean and detailed as he should have been, and it's really an honor to see him from an academic standpoint change his attitude. And really from a playing standpoint, you know, when we first arrived here, there was no energy. I mean, zero energy. There, you know, the guys in my group particularly, the motors were really low. I'm talking about, you know, didn't look like they really worked out. So we really worked on his body. We worked on his weight. We worked on his lifestyle. And it's rewarding to be around Devin and to see how much he's changed. We're still not there yet, but the great part about it is we work well together. And I really enjoy him. I really do.
Yeah, he's a bright young man. Devin's in the back of the room. Well, we're close to there, aren't we?
I mean, we're
getting there. We're moving down the road, aren't we?
Yes.
All right. Well, talk a little bit about Saturday night and really the improvement from game one to game two for your defensive unit and in particular the guys up front, the guys you coach along the defensive line. I know you guys were not happy with how you played against South Dakota State, but came back. I thought the defensive line was terrific on Saturday.
Yeah. You know, we played better. There's still another gear we can hit as a position group. You know, we have a goal every week in our room, and I'll share it with you. And we want to finish every game with four sacks, because if we finish with four sacks times 12 games, that'll put us at number one in the country in sacks. So that's a goal of ours, and it's an attainable goal with the edge guys that we have. You know, the second goal, which is important to us, is we want to finish a game with five TFLs as a front. And, you know, the first game, the biggest issue was, and I told the group this, that was on me. It was a coaching error, but also told them this is a player-driven game. And, you know, I can't be 200 over 200 blood pressure every second of the day. At some point, these guys got to hold themselves accountable. And I think the biggest difference from week one to week two was how we attacked the week. Starting with Monday morning, they text me, Coach, we're down in the room. I said, who's down in the room? He says, the entire D-line. I mean, that's their day off. And I walked down there. I said, what are you guys doing? They said, we're ready for cut-ups. And they started on Monday. Tuesday night, they were down in the room on their own. Wednesday night, Coach, we have some questions. Can you come down? So there was a different level of preparation. There was a sense of letdown, which is something that's new for us. There hasn't been a sense of letdown in our program. And it's now starting to happen. And I think the bigger thing is, you know, a leader like Toby McBride who said, hey, the biggest problem here, Coach, is people don't do their jobs. And he called out every teammate. He challenged his teammates, and they bought in. And we're not where we need to be. And this week coming up is a week for us to take a step in that direction. I would like to see our guys play a little bit better. You know, I look back at that final drive of the game. And ever since that game has ended, I feel like my unit didn't finish that game. That's how I'm wired.
Right.
And, you know, the offense score make it 21-21. And I'm saying to myself, an elite group gets off the field.
Right.
And we did it. So going into Sunday's meeting yesterday, that was my message to my guys. We didn't finish. So, you know, I'm very careful with the praise of, you know, the defensive line played better because we didn't win the game. And we had a chance in our room to win the game. And that's foreign to our kids. That's foreign to this culture. It's they don't understand that, and that's our job. As Coach Dazio has allotted to, you know, we've got to work toward building that culture. We have to, you know, you're up 14-0. You got to believe you're going to put your foot in their throat and win the game.
Right.
There's no doubt, you know. And I think that was the difference between week one and week two.
Do you like having your guys angry from week to week? I mean, is that an angry defensive line group that you saw in the locker room and maybe at film study on Sunday?
Well, if you're not angry, you're not a defensive lineman. I mean, that's just in general. I mean, it's a street fight every snap.
Right.
And the bottom line is, you know, there's a 300-pound man trying to move you, and it takes a certain, you know, disposition to want to be a street fighter, you know, and that's what we talk to our guys about, and that's all we talk about. And, you know, it's just, you know, what it comes down to is we've got to prepare. It's got to be player-driven. I mean, we can coach as hard as we want to coach, but at the end of the day, we're standing on the sideline. It's got to be player-driven, and that's what I talk to our guys about. I think that's what our staff has made a big, big push on, and we got some fruit out of that going from performance in week one to week two.
Right. Antoine Smith, defensive line coach and assistant head coach at Colorado State, joining us tonight on the Steve Adazio Coaches Show. All right, a couple more thoughts before we let you run. Tell Ram fans about some of the up-and-coming defensive linemen that maybe not – they don't get a lot of snaps because you are so experienced and talented with guys that have been in the trenches a lot in college football, but how about some of the young, up-and-coming defensive linemen?
Yeah, we're very, very excited, to be honest with you. You know, going through a COVID year and not being able to do home visits and being in the homes of these kids and looking at, you know, coaches and administrators of these high schools in the eye, I'll tell you what, we hit the jackpot. And we're very fortunate. You know, we have a young man from Florida who we think have a really high ceiling, Grady Kelly. I mean, he's going to be a really good player for us. You know, we have two in-state defensive ends that barely no one recruited. And you work with these guys and you watch them go and you go, wow, they're at CSU. So it's really exciting, mm-hmm. because these guys are long, they're tall, they can run. And they get to see Toby McBride and Scotty Patch, and they get to listen to the rhetoric. They get to sit there and listen to the accountability and always press pause in my meeting and say, did you guys in the back, did you hear that? You know, and I'll say this to you, and this is not an overstatement here. Our younger defensive line in the long run will be more talented.
Yeah, that bodes well for the future for sure. One final thought, Toledo, give us a little bit of a scouting report of kind of what they do and how they are up front, your guys in the trenches, who they're going to be battling.
Well, I think they're a well-coached team, and I think they have good players. And from a schematic standpoint, they are running things that we've seen in the first two games. And we have a big job to do up front. And all that matters right now is our preparation and us getting on the plane to go up to Toledo, Ohio. And really, to me, that's all that matters.
Yep.
We're angry. We're disappointed. There is nothing but preparation right now. End of discussion.
Yep. You bet. Antoine, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, there's Antoine Smith, and again, really didn't hold anything back. Antoine, you think the fans are frustrated? Yeah. Antoine, that coaching staff, they're more frustrated than the fans are. And love the way that he has coached this defensive line. They played much better on Saturday night against Vanderbilt, and certainly going to have to play really well coming up on Saturday afternoon. All right, about those Rockets, again, they're 1-1 on the season. Rams are going to take on Toledo, 2 p.m. Mountain Time on Saturday afternoon. We'll be there. The Colorado State Sports Network will go on air at 12 noon Mountain Time. Hope you can join us for that. And then See if Colorado State can pick up their first win of the year. It'll be a tough task. And for a full preview of the opponent coming up on Saturday afternoon, we go to the voice of the Rockets, Brent Balbinot. All right, Brent, hey, look, thanks for taking a couple of minutes out of your day. And I wanted to get a kind of a preview of what Ram fans can expect coming up on Saturday afternoon there in Toledo. And let's just start here. Mentioned earlier in the podcast, it's a Toledo team that went 4-2 last season with a couple of close losses. Obviously, it's been a program under Jason Candle that has been really good over the last number of years. What were the overall expectations coming into the season?
Pretty much the same they've been since I arrived here 5 seasons ago. That's to win the MAC West and to get to the conference championship game the first weekend in December. Some people might say that sounds cocky or arrogant, but when I talked to Coach Candle, and let's not forget, he was a longtime assistant here before he got promoted to head coach. He actually was being taken. He was in the process of moving to Ames, Iowa with his predecessor, Matt Campbell, to become Iowa State's offensive coordinator. And I will give a huge tip of the cap to our athletic director here, Mike O'Brien. He said, we don't need to hire an outside firm and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to tell us who should be on our short list. He goes, I know who my number one guy is, and I want to go after him right now before we lose him. So he picked up the phone, called Jason Candle and said, we'll promote you. Do you want the job? And Jason went to Matt and said, listen, I appreciate the offer and it's tremendous, but I want to be the head coach. Where else could I get that opportunity? And Matt gave him his blessing. So kind of circling back to give a somewhat long answer to your question, Jason Candle knew the program. He knew what he wanted to do. He knew what he wanted to change. He knew what he wanted to keep. But at the core of all of it, and he has said this time and time again on record, I don't want guys to play for me that have low expectations. If you're telling me, well, we'll just be happy with a middle of the pack performance, and as long as I get my own, you're not the kind of guy that will be suiting up for Toledo. He wants guys with championship aspirations.
Yeah, and it sounds like he not only has that mindset, but just going through some of the Toledo stuff and preparing for this weekend's game, it sounds like he's one heck of a recruiter as well.
You don't have the conference's number one recruiting class 5 straight years without being able to bring in some talent. Now, how things will change with the transfer portal, dare I say that word, they want to use it more as a supplement rather than something that you would consider sustaining. There's bound to be some talent out there, especially if you have some thin numbers at a particular position, they'll look at it, but they are very much a developmental program here. And there's nothing wrong with that. Somebody that might thumb their nose at that phrase just maybe should take a step back and take a look at the broader landscape of college football with maybe a handful of exceptions. Just about everybody in some way, shape, or form, even top 10 teams can say, you know what, we'll recruit them. We'll bring them in. We don't have 4 and 5 stars, 4 or 5 deep on our roster. We'll get the 2. We'll get the 3 stars. We'll develop them. And then about every 2 to 3 years, yeah, you expect to see something pretty special. They're no different here at Toledo.
All right, tell us about last week. It's a Toledo team that went into South Bend, taking on the number 8 team in the nation in Notre Dame. And, Brent, I had mentioned I didn't watch the game live, but I was following it on my phone. And lo and behold, 1.5 minutes to go in that contest, Toledo has a 29-24 lead. I know it had to be heartbreaking for that program not to be able to pull out that win as Notre Dame ends up scoring a last-second touchdown. But tell us about that game and what Toledo can take from that game and use for the rest of the season.
Well, I'll answer your question kind of in reverse order there. What they took from it was they should have won the ball game, and that's no disrespect to Notre Dame. And I've said this to more than a couple of our fans, as you probably are well aware of, fans like to do a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking. There was Saturday afternoon quarterbacking. Literally, as the gun sounded, a lot of people were talking about this, that, and the other thing. And very rarely are you going to be able to look at one play or one series and say that was the decision maker. But I tried to tell the fans that I talked to first, Notre Dame won the game. All right. Sometimes you just tip your cap to the opponent and say, we put you in a position that made you uncomfortable. You had to execute multiple times, and you did. Notre Dame won the game. Toledo didn't lose it. I think anybody would have said if Toledo would have had to force Notre Dame to score a touchdown with a minute 35 left to go and cover 80 yards of the field to do so prior to kickoff, every Toledo fan would have said, we'll take that. That's percentage football. And Toledo's defense had performed basically up until that drive. How many schools could do that? How many teams have the personnel to be able to do what Notre Dame did? Again, a handful in the country. And then you still have to execute. And that's exactly what Notre Dame did. Toledo had no reason to hang their head. They played with one of the best. And I think they served notice, too, to the rest of the conference. You better include us in the conversation.
How about this defense? I know last year, looking at some of the numbers, I was one of the best in the Mid-American. It returned all 11 starters from last year. I know not all 11 of them, I don't think, are on the field due to some injury issues. But, you know, tell Ramfat, just how good is this defensive unit for Toledo this year?
They were top five in just about every category in the Mid-American Conference. They were top 15 in the nation in three. They were actually top 10. In a couple. You take a look at rushing defense, only allowing 124 yards per game. That's nearly unheard of. But I'm going to circle back to a coaching change that happened two seasons ago. Coach Candle brought in one of his college buddies who used to coach with him at Division III powerhouse Mount Union, Vince Karras, to be the new defensive coordinator. And then they went and got Coach Kuligowski, who had played at Toledo going back a couple of decades and has been around some big programs coming from Alabama. Nonetheless. So he saw at the highest level, and they made some personnel changes, but more so than that, they made a huge schematic change. Coming from the Big Ten prior to my arrival here, you know, I was used to Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, lining up a fullback. Remember that position? Not that long ago, used to be very important on the field. You know, taking 15 seconds off the snap clock, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. When I first got here, I learned very quickly how pass happy the Mid-American Conference is. You know, I'd be making a stat mark after one play. I'd be looking up and the ball's being snapped again. So I had to get used to, you know, moving from 65 to maybe 70 plays a game to 85 to 90. Well, defensively, you've got to be able to prepare for that kind of stuff. And what Coach Karras elected to do, and I think this is really smart, he doesn't get enough credit for this. He made a big schematic change. They moved from a star in their terminology, which is basically a glorified weak side linebacker, to going to a nickel package. You need a hybrid athlete at that position. You know, your pre-snap read on one play, maybe having to come downhill and face one of the most physical players on the field and a big burly running back. On the very next, your pre-snap read may tell you, I got to drop and cover one of the quickest players on the field. They moved Chris McDonald from the cornerback, who was a starter as a freshman, to that nickel position. And it's made all the difference in the world. Now, all of a sudden, you couple that with two solid defensive ends in Jamal Hines and Terrence Taylor, both of them on a number of different preseason watch lists. And then you got Dez Johnson in the middle at tackle, again, on three or four different preseason watch lists. And that front seven has become very salty. And now it's allowed the backside to be able to free up and play better pass coverage. And it has paid dividends.
Yeah, Toledo last week, six sacks. They forced three turnovers. Were really good against what we all believe is to be a pretty good Notre Dame ball club, especially to do it there in South Bend. All right, well, let's turn our attention to the offense. And I think Ram fans still have some PTSD from that Toledo game in Fort Collins a couple of years ago. I mean, the Rockets ran all over.
That was a late one, buddy.
Yeah, that was a late one. I know you guys probably didn't get home till about 4 or 5 in the morning. 436 rushing yards for Toledo in that game, nearly 10 yards a pop. And then, you know, I'm going through the two deep here, taking a look at some familiar names, and Bryant Kobach, the running back who just murdered Colorado State 2 years ago. He's still on the roster. I don't know how he's still around. He's like 29 years old. But tell us a little bit about this Toledo offense and what they've been able to do so far early in the season.
Well, it starts up front, and I was doing a podcast earlier this summer with offensive line coach Mike Hallett, and he said for the first time since they won the MAC championship back in 2017, they finally have a fully healthy offensive line. And he's not just talking five across. He's talking 10 or 11 deep. The last 2 years, you get your starting center, Bryce Harris, who is in his seventh year, by the way, in the program. He's going for his second master's degree. You know, he gets hurt. From row 70, I think there's a misconception that offensive line is offensive line. And that couldn't be farthest from the truth. You know, if you're a guard, you really don't have to move more than two steps to your right or your left. You're blocking in a phone booth, I think is the common phrase. There's a reason left tackles in the NFL are handsomely paid, because you're taking care of the blind side of most of your quarterbacks. So some guys can fit the bill. They're interior guys only. Some guys are tackles only. And then some guys are what they call combination lock guys. And that's what Toledo's offensive line the last 2 years has been. It's been a combination lock, because three or four guys were having to move from their natural position to fill holes due to injury. That's not the case this year. As a matter of fact, in the first two games, and that includes Norfolk State and against number seven Notre Dame, you saw 8 to 10 different offensive linemen all get reps. They are incredibly strong. They are incredibly big, but they're playing as a unit now, and that makes a huge difference. You mentioned Bryant Kobach. Bryant knows if the hole's not necessarily there when he takes the handoff, he trusts that it's going to be about a half a second later. If it's not, he's got enough wherewithal to be able to get to the edge and try and beat a safety. But things start up front. The success, at least in the early going, and there's no reason to expect that it won't continue to be, is the offensive line.
All right, final thought before we let you run, Brent. And again, Brent Balbinot, the play-by-play voice of the Toledo Rockets, joining us here on the Colorado State Insider Podcast. All right, tell us a little bit about the venue. And, of course, you hear the name Glass Bowl. I think it's one of the coolest stadium names there is. And did a little bit of research on the Toledo website. I mean, didn't realize it was built back in 1937. Obviously, many upgrades since then, but a great name. Yeah, give Ram fans a little bit of the history behind the name and the stadium, the Glass Bowl.
Well, Toledo's known as the Glass City.
Right.
So, again, one of those situations, you've got Owens Corning, you've got Libby Glass here, you've got a family that really was, what's the word I'm looking for? They were very generous. They were very philanthropic. So there's a lot of history to it, but the renovations, you know, when people come, especially, I'm trying to think, we had BYU fans here a couple of years ago, and I remembered hearing them say, wow, this has a Power Five feel to it. It's not as big as, say, what you've got at Colorado State or what you'd have in the Big Ten. You know, they don't need an 80,000-seat stadium here. It seats just under 30. With standing room, they've had as many as 35,000 here, but it's got a very old school feel to it. They wanted to keep some of that tradition while still being able to add, you know, modern amenities. But I think any Colorado State fans that make the trip, they're going to enjoy not just the stadium itself, but the campus. It's this beautiful kind of rustic campus that's set right in the middle of a very industrial city. They've done a good job here of being able to kind of keep one foot in both worlds.
All right, Brent. Well, listen, I'm looking forward to getting to Toledo. First timer here. I've never been to the city of Toledo, so looking forward to it. Thank you so much, and yeah, we'll see you on Saturday afternoon.
Looks good. Looking forward to it.
All right, a big thank you there to Brent Balbinot for joining us and giving us a preview of the opponent coming up on Saturday, the Rockets of Toledo. All right, let's wrap up the program and talk a little women's soccer. Why not? They're under new leadership here this year as Keely Hagen is in her first season. It's her first head coaching job. And Keely, longtime assistant coach at the University of Texas, was at Tennessee as well, played at Tennessee, also had a professional career as well. Taking over this Rams soccer program that is just 2 years removed from their best season in program history, where they won 12 games. Well, Keeley's ball club up to a 1-2-2 start. They're coming off a 6-0 win against Idaho State this past Sunday, and they now have a two-week break before stepping up for Mountain West Conference play beginning at Ram Field on Friday, September 24th, when they get San Diego State in town. Had a chance to catch up with Keeley in her office a little bit earlier here this week. Keely, I know I talked to you right when you got hired. It was a few months ago, but can you give me an idea? How are you settling in? I know we're a few games into the season, but how have the last few months of transition gone?
Yeah, it's been exciting. You know, we've had our ups and our downs, but that's part of the process. And the young ladies have really embraced our style and our coaching staff. And they've worked really hard and have a great attitude. And those are the two things that we've asked them to do every single day.
How about personally? I know you're moving into to a house. You guys are getting set there. So you had an opportunity to kind of feel at home yet here in Fort Collins.
Yeah, you know, this is different from where I came. It definitely, it feels everybody's super nice and welcoming, and just the area is not as trafficky, at least where I came from. So that's a positive, and settling in, and, you know, everybody's been really welcoming, which has been great.
Gorski, they come in from the University of Texas, longtime assistant there, played at Tennessee. And, you know, you've been an assistant for a long time. This is your first head coaching job. And I get it. You're only a few months into your first head coaching job. But have there been any challenges that maybe you didn't even see coming down the road where you just don't know about unless you're in the main chair?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're still obviously in somewhat of a COVID stage, and so that kind of hit us early on, but I believe that my work at Texas prepared me for a lot of things, and then the pandemic also prepared you for the constant unknown. So going through the last 2 years, I really feel like has really grown and helped me to certainly not going to know everything, but be as prepared as we can for what's going to happen and down the road. And it's been a lot of fun.
Rams are coming off a 6-0 victory over Idaho State this past week at Ram Field. It was an orange out and obviously an offensive explosion. And I know that's got to feel good. It was your first win as a CSU head coach. Congratulations on that. But, I mean, to score 6 goals, as we've talked about, I mean, goals are not easy to come by, and you get 6 in a game. That's got to boost your confidence.
Yeah, it's a touchdown, right?
That's right.
So we were excited to get the back of the net. We've talked a lot about the process and just getting shots on goal and being intentional about finding the corners. It's hard enough to get shots on goal, but just having that extra focus of hitting low and in the corner, and we got to see our young ladies do that, and it was nice to see them intentionally have that plan, and that just shows growth, and that's what's really exciting for me.
I know Idaho State isn't one of the better teams you've played to this point, but that's still a Division I team out of the Big Sky Conference. But to put 6 in the net and to finally get that feeling of a victory, can that carry over now in the next few weeks and even the rest of the season?
Yeah, we're excited to take these next 12 days, I think you said, to really train and get after it and continue to raise the standard. And we talk about a lot, it doesn't matter the opponent that we're playing. It's what is our standard going to be if we're playing a Stanford or if we're playing, you know, New Mexico, right? It's how are we going to prepare every single day to get better individually, and scoring goals is an outcome goal, right? It's the process to which, how do we get from our goalkeeper all the way into our attacking third to just get a shot on goal? So whenever you see the back of the net, it definitely brings confidence, and we're going to keep building on that confidence. But again, one of the lines the players have heard us talk about is it's conviction over confidence. The confidence is going to come and go. You might be off here and there, but having that conviction of doing the process of making your runs, of having a good first touch, of having being in the right place at the right time when the ball is coming in to execute your technique. And that's what we're focusing on every single day.
Right. How have the girls kind of bought into that? And obviously you go from one coach to the next, there's going to be differences, and this is kind of your philosophy, the process. You've been with these girls now for a couple of months. Are they buying in?
Yeah, they've been awesome. And a lot of it is, you know, giving them immediate feedback on the things that they do great, and a lot of praise on that. And here we're never going to be perfect. But what can we continue to work on every single day? And giving them the ownership of, all right, we're going to do a drill. How many goals do you guys think you can score? How many shots on goal can we get in this drill? And, you know, at first it's kind of like, well, we're not really sure. Well, hey, let's set a limit and let's really try to get there. So it's definitely, at the end of the day, this is their team. I'm going to help facilitate them of the standard that is necessary to become champions. But they've really embraced it, and it's been really awesome.
Give us an idea who some of the players that really have kind of played well early in the season and have established themselves as leaders of this soccer team.
Yeah, I mean, just our leaders, captains-wise, is Bailey Bedard, Sam Stute, and Haley Block. You know, those are They have been nominated by our team to be our captains. So there's a lot of responsibility on them, just on and off the field, and driving the everyday of, hey, we got to continue to get better. Whether it's not just leading by example, but also bringing their teammates along. So leadership is critical, and I've challenged them to who's going to fill their shoes when they leave. And so that's something we're talking about in terms of continuing to develop the leadership. Obviously, from a goal scoring standpoint, Kristen Noonan and Gracie Armstrong have been knocking on the door, getting a lot of shots, and finally put a lot in. Olivia Layton, she's also getting in and getting some assists and creating a lot of chances for us. Carolyn on the right side, she's doing great. And then Haley as well. And then we're just shoring up our back line to help us keep the ball out of the back of the net. Amanda, our goalkeeper, she's really starting to find her way as well. As long as we can keep a clean sheet and keep it 0-0 in terms of eliminating shots on goal and not giving up goals, then it's putting the ball in the back of the net. And the name of the game is you got to score more goals than the other team. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And again, the Rams coming off that 6-0 win against Idaho State. And no, it had to feel good. All right. Final thought before we let you go. That 6-0 win was last Sunday. You don't play again until next Sunday, the 24th. So you get a little 2-week break. Do you kind of try to get back to some of the preseason stuff here and the kind of shore some things up before you start looking ahead to Mountain West Conference play?
Yeah, you know, it's training is a controlled environment, right? So when we get to the game, it's essentially, all right, we're going to see what our training has taught us. And, you know, you've seen the Navy SEALs is you don't rise to the occasion, you fall to the level of your training. So our goal in training in this controlled environment is continue to push our mentality. How can we get tougher? Well, the only way you get tougher is by being in tough environments. And so we're going to really push them to their limit and continue to be tougher mentality-wise, sharpen our skills, and clean up our tactics. And that's what we're excited about bringing us into conference.
All right, San Diego State coming up next week on the 24th. In fact, it's a Friday. I think I said it was Sunday. But then Sunday the 24th, they have New Mexico at Ramfield. Keeney, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, that's Keeley Hagan, first-year soccer coach at Colorado State. A chance to get back to some fundamentals here with a little bit of time off, but they'll be back on the pitch next Friday, the 24th of September, when they host San Diego State, 4 p.m. at Ramfield in Fort Collins. And then they get New Mexico, a perennial power in women's soccer in the Mountain West Conference, Sunday, September 26th at 1 p.m. I know we're going to try to get my family. Got a couple of young soccer players, a couple of girls that love soccer. We're going to hopefully get out to that game on Sunday, the 26th of September. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. We appreciate Devin Phillips and Antoine Smith joining us at the Steve Adazio Coaches Show on Monday night. And big thank you to Brent Balbinot, the voice of the Toledo Rockets, for giving us a preview of the opponent coming up on Saturday. And then, of course, to Keeley Hagan. For everybody, Brian Roth saying so long. Thanks for tuning in to the Colorado State Insider Podcast.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Colorado State Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.